It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. So glad you're here and so glad you're here to listen to this very special guest that I have. I actually appeared on his podcast a few weeks ago and we had the best time. Just this guy is a wealth of knowledge. He's come from a very similar background to me. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but in his case, it's probably a pretty good thing. And you know what I love about this guy? His humility. He is so humble because he's come from a lot of failures, but he and I both know, and you know too, because you're listening and watching, that failure is not really a thing. It's you either win or you learn. You don't fail, because every fail, if you learn from it, is really a success. So I want to introduce you to a guy who's written a book called The Ultimate Harmonic Pattern Strategy, The Most Accurate Harmonic Patterns and How to Trade Them. Now, if you've listened to my podcast, you know that I believe that stocks have memory. So when he talks about harmonic patterns, that's talking about stocks having memory. And then he's got a few other nuances. This guy's been trading since he was a teenager and he's been investing and doing all kinds of things. But, you know, I could sit here and introduce him all day, but let me just go ahead and introduce him to you. Please welcome to the show, Casey Stubbs. Casey, welcome.
Thanks, Mark. Great intro. I'm taking notes on how to do a proper intro.
Oh, wow. Cool. Well, you give me a lot of good material to work with. And I'm like, I can't go through all that stuff. Let's just talk to the guy, you know? So let's talk a little bit about where you started. I know you were introduced by to this whole trading world, right, when you were young. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I'm so fortunate, right? Like I just am so thankful every day. I had a great start. And not in that I had a lot of money, but I had some really cool people in my life. And one of them was my aunt Mary. She really invested a lot in me and my other brothers and sisters. She worked at Intel.
Okay.
And she was in the tech team there. And so she taught us about computers when they were just getting started.
Your aunt taught you about computers. That's so cool. It's usually the other way now.
Right? Yeah, right. Now it's the kids teaching the adults.
Yeah.
But she would bring home computers from work, like parts and stuff, and we'd put them together. You know, she'd show us how to build them. And we had an old 1985, actually we didn't, she did, an old 1985 compact computer. It was like a case, you'd carry it. So anyways, I just grew up really loving tech and computers. And so that's the first part of the story. And the second part is that my dad didn't know anything about computers. My aunt is my dad's sister. My dad was a mechanic, but he was very interested in finance and in stocks. And when I was young, he sold our house and he made a great profit on it of $50,000 on the house sale. And he rolled the entire thing into the stock market.
Really?
And, he's like, I need to, because online trading was just getting started. So that's like early 90s. I was in high school, but he didn't even know how to turn on a computer. Like he could not, he's like so tech illiterate. He didn't know anything. So he needed me to help him get that thing set up, show him how to use the computer. And so while I'm setting up his stock online trading, I got really into trading and the stock market. And, he taught me a lot about stocks and we were learning about charts. And so that's really what got me started in finance.
That's cool. So you don't know this about me most likely, but I helped usher in the era of stock of online trading. I had a company called Next Trade at the time. And we built basically the equivalent of stock exchanges. And we started working with all those charting systems and all the order entry and the SOS stuff. What was the system you were using?
You know what? I could.
You don't remember?
No idea. But it was pretty interesting. What year did you guys start doing that?
I started my firm in 1994, 95. Yeah.
Okay. That was about the same time.
Yeah.
That was because that was my, you know, sophomore, junior year in high school.
Yeah. We actually introduced 24-hour trading to the market and everybody thought we were crazy. We did that in 1999. And today we still have the remnants of that. Not that we trade 24 hours, but we certainly have extended trading. So we were the first company to do that. And I was on Tom Brokaw way back, you know, NBC Nightly News when we made that announcement. It was a fun time to be in the market for sure.
Yeah. It was great. And so carrying on with that, I got started right around that same time, and it was the big bull run, and tech was on fire. And, you know, my aunt was working at Intel, so I was just investing in Intel, a couple other tech stocks, and I had a really good first run as a rookie beginner, know nothing about investing.
Yeah, but if you started with Intel, you started in the sweet spot if you were in the mid-90s. And if you were in other tech stocks, you did really well. So, and even if you didn't, I hope you learned from it, right?
Yeah. Oh, I learned a lot. It was great. Stuff that you carry on to this day.
Yeah. Like, what are some of the lessons that you learned early on? Because I know, you know, that markets repeat because we're all human beings, right? So when you look at a chart today, it can be a chart from 1935, right? And you know, we're human emotional creatures, and that's what chart patterns show. So what did you learn maybe on a chart or on fundamentals or on trading? I'm sure there were some lessons, right?
Well, I think the first early lessons I learned was just how to manage your money and how to spend. You know, I came from a background where I didn't have a lot of money, but this is another why I'm so fortunate. My grandparents were just such a great influence because they're from the Depression era. Right. Yeah. That's when they grew up. And so they took a lot of those lessons about being careful with your money. And they instilled that in me. So that was a really big one. And so when I was in the Army, so I joined the Army after that and started investing. This was so amazing. Right. So I'm a single guy and we live in the barracks. Right. It's almost like a college thing. Everybody's partying. Everybody's having fun. Young kids know nothing. They're just dumb. You know, kids are dumb. Their parents, they don't have their parents in their life. So, you know, it's like, okay, we're just going to go for it. We're going to go crazy. Well, the thing is, all of the guys that I was living with were living paycheck to paycheck, right? And we made $800 a month. But here's the thing. That's not a lot. But we had no food that we had to pay for.
Yep.
We didn't have to pay for housing. Yep. We didn't have to pay for electric. We didn't have to pay for medical. So that's $800 of cash, right? Just cash. And we got paid every 2 weeks, $400 every 2 weeks. And most of the guys that I was with were living paycheck to paycheck.
Sure.
And I was socking away 90%. Like, I wouldn't buy anything. My friends would feel sorry for me. They'd think I was broke. Like, they'd come in like, I had guys donating clothes to me, right? They're like, what's wrong with this guy? Here, I got all this old clothes. You can have it. The Army issues you a blanket, an old wool blanket.
Yep.
Right. And it's really scratchy. Well, that's what I was using on my bed in my barracks room. And one of the guys is like, look, I can't look at you using this bedspread. He's like, here, just take mine. I got an extra comforter. I was going to get rid of it anyways. So I was able to generate a lot just from people feeling sorry for me.
Yep.
I wasn't trying to get charity. I was perfectly happy with the stuff that I had, but they would just go out. They'd spend it all, buy TVs, VCRs, DVD players. You know, we get free child food, but they want to go out to eat every day. And so when I left after 4 years, I had $30,000 in the
holy
stock
moly.
Market.
And that's most serious money back then.
Yeah. Well, you know, like now that's probably worth $60,000, but everybody else was broke.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how can one guy leave with 30,000 and everyone else around me leave with nothing?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
People just don't realize it's that slow effect, right? It's the, you know, the drip, the Chinese water torture, or whatever they call it, you know, but if you just drip out the money, it compounds on the negative side, just like compound interest compounds on the positive side. And so you were able to save and save and save. And then you took that 30,000 and what did you do with it?
Well, as soon as I got out, I got and I invested into a business, right? And so I was 23 years old and working a couple jobs, and I took my money out of the market, put it into a business, and then I started putting it back into the market with the money from the business.
Wow. Wow. Hey, it's Mark Yeager here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag. just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more. And now today, what are you doing? How do you spend your time? What makes you passionate?
So today, what I do is I'm a father of 9 children. And so
I didn't know that.
Really busy. Yeah, I forgot to tell you that.
You didn't tell. Wow, 9. I don't even know how you have any money left.
Well, that's the thing, is you got to be smart when you have a, because I mean, man, just look at my food bill. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look at my food bill and I'm one. That's great.
So managing my time is really important, right? So I'm in the markets and I'm in business and I focus really hard on my business, but when I am done with work, I don't work a lot of hours, right? So like, I like to pick up my kids from school, focus on my family in the evenings, and I don't bring work home with me. As a matter of fact, I'm here in the office, and a lot of people say, well, you work from home now. I'm like, no, I don't work from home, because I want to keep my work at work and I want to keep my home life at home.
Nice. Now, so many people miss that, especially with this work from home thing that we got going on now, and everybody's kind of mixing everything together. And there's some benefits to that, because, you know, sometimes you really have to do some work at 10 o'clock at night or whatever, if you've got a client overseas. But otherwise, you know, there's really a beautiful thing about being able to shut things off and have separation so you can really be present for your family. So I commend you on that. That's really great. So how do you help people today? I know you, when you do your work, besides your 9 kids that you're helping, I'm sure, how do you help other people today?
Well, my primary business is trading education, and I teach people how to trade in the currency markets. And the thing about the currency markets is very similar to stock markets, and the fact is that markets will move in long directions for long periods of time. You know, the S&P 500 is in a massive bull market. We have pulled back this year, but it's been going up pretty much since 2008, I would say. And so when you have a trend like that, you just want to continue to trade in the direction of the trend. And currencies are the same way. The trends will move for years at a time. You just find the very best trends and you ride those trends and you make individual trades on the currency moves.
Well, let's unpack that a little bit, because we are in a trend. I happen to think that we're in a trend of the dollar being debased, and that's why the market largely is going up. I also see that there are trends. You and I are both trend traders. I have a system now that I use called the Cash Flow Machine, which is a trend trading strategy, but we also, you know, create income from the strategy using options. But yeah, I mean, 80% of the time stocks consolidate, but when they trend, they trend. And right now we are in a very, very long, if you zoom way out and you look from 2000 or 2008, or even just in the last 5 years, we are in a bull market. I happen to think we're in a bit of a bear market right now, but it could be just a correction. And we'll see what happens. I think we're in a 2-year bear market, but you know, that's why there's a market, right? So, that's one thing. I don't know if we want to get into the Fed on this call, but I certainly want to talk about the foreign exchange markets. And I'll set it up by saying the dollar seems to be really strong, certainly compared to some of the other markets out there. Those regular listeners on the Wealth Architect podcast know that I went to El Salvador to check out Bitcoin Beach down there. And I went to Turkey to check out their hyperinflation. And I go to Europe quite often. And I do see the effects of inflation on the people. And so right now the dollar has just regained back parity on the euro. And we're starting to see the dollar just show this massive strength around the world. So give us some color on what you think about the Forex market, the foreign exchange.
Okay.
Market.
So if we talk about the dollar specifically, and when you talk about the Fed, I'm not an expert in that kind of stuff. I do study money.
Yes.
You know, the history of money, when you talk about inflation and how governments manage money. I've read a lot of books and I'm not an expert on it, but I know it pretty well.
Hey, they're not even experts on it.
Well, they're experts at getting the opposite of the desired.
That's effect. Right. That's right.
Because why? Because it, you know, it helps them and their power cronies get what they need. So, yeah. I mean, I at least understand that it's set up in a way to help the big guy and bury the little guy. I get that.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, the dollar has been, when you said it's been debased for a long time, you know, it's actually in a long-term downtrend. If you look at a really long-term chart, you know, like if you, yes. 'Cause I like to go back and look at monthly charts and things like that. So if we look at the monthly chart, you know, back in, and I'm talking about the dollar index back in the mid 80s, the dollar was way more valuable than it was now. Right. Like the dollar index was at 163. Now it's about 100.
Yeah.
So that's long term, really long term 80s. Like, but right now we're in a very strong period where the dollar has recovered quite a bit. And if you're a traveler, which you are, Mark, you know that the dollar is really good right now.
It's great when you travel, for sure.
Like I was telling somebody yesterday, like go on a European vacation and do it now because, you know, we're over parity. That's never happened before with the euro.
Yeah. I'm out of here in 2 weeks. I'm going to Italy and Greece again. And I was just in Turkey, and because of the hyperinflation there, the dollar is just ridiculously strong. It goes a long, long way.
So Mark, when you go to Turkey, because I haven't talked to anyone that's done this, tell me a little bit about what can you buy there? What is it like spending dollars? Is it like the deals are just amazing?
Yeah, the deals are really good. And I'll tell you why. You know, one of our tour guides, she was a sweet lady, highly educated accountant, and decided to become a tour guide. And she had to pay $400 a month in rent to live in a flat in Istanbul. And while we were on the tour, she was getting these phone calls from her landlady. And she was saying, listen, I know you have 6 months left on your lease, but we're going to have to raise your rent from $400 a month to $1,500. And she was like, I don't want to take the call because I don't know how I'm going to be able to come up with that. I'm going to have to move. So you could see that on the negative side, the Turkish people were just being hammered, right? So they're willing to take any kind of money, especially if it's a strong currency, to be able to kind of buy things. So there's becoming a black market there because the foreign markets don't want to take the Turkish lira. So there's a market for dollars. So there's a dollar price and there's a lira price. And there you get a lot more strength with the dollar price. You can buy lots of stuff. I was actually looking for some waterfront property out there.
So if you think about it, that is one of the reasons why the dollar is so strong too, is because everyone is investing in the dollar, like the Turkish, you know, and that's just one government, one group of people that prefer dollars. I mean, I've traveled quite a bit too, and I've seen it in other countries where they will take dollars and they prefer dollars.
But Casey, don't you think, because we're debasing our currency, don't you think we're just like in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king? You know, like everybody's throwing the dollar because the Turkish lira is certainly worth less, but we're not worth that much more. We just happen to be the strongest one in the room.
Honestly, my honest opinion is the dollar is total trash.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we agree.
But it's the prettiest piece of trash there is right now.
Yep. Yep.
You know, it's like it's like, give me a group of really bad choices. I'll just try to take the best of the worst.
Right. Yeah. And people ask me, and I know you probably get this question all the time, is like, wait a minute, bonds are going down. The stock market's in a bit of a correction, even though it's a bull market. You know, real estate's going to crash at some point. I'm sure you're hearing all the same stuff that I'm hearing. What should I invest in? So what do you think? I'm not that we give financial advice, but we just give ideas and opinions.
So really good things to invest in. So if you're in the currency market, which is what I'm in, you really go with what the current trends are, right? And so I look at weekly and monthly charts.
Yep.
And as long as the news could be whatever, as long as those charts are above the 10 EMA on a higher time frame, I'm still looking to buy in as long as that continues. So I'm looking right at a dollar, the dollar index right now.
Yep.
At the current chart, and on the monthly time frame, it crossed over the 10 EMA in May of 21.
On the monthly.
on the monthly chart. So it has been going up.
Wow.
That's over a year. That's a long trend. It's been doing nothing but going up for over a year, and it still hasn't changed. It's right now, as we're talking, it's near the high.
How's the volume?
The volume is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't look at
volume. Oh, I thought you had a price volume chart up. But
yeah, I have a chart. There's no volume, but I do know that the dollar is the one of the highest traded, and the currency market is the biggest market in the world.
Yes.
As far as volume.
Yeah.
But I don't know it relative compared to what it is. So I would say as long as that's going in, I'm still okay in investing in the dollar as long as that happens. As soon as it shows signs, chart patterns, and then I'll go into something else. But I would also say too, you know, we've talked about Bitcoin on my podcast. I just think that that's such a great, I think it's such a great investment. There's just so many benefits to Bitcoin. And I'm a real strong, right now it's trending down really. I mean, the overall trend is still up, but recently it has been down.
Yes. Yes. I mean, to me, Bitcoin is the next iteration. It's a technological iteration of the strongest form of currency we had for 5,000 years, and that's gold. So this is a more portable, easier to transact, no middleman kind of thing. I mean, it's hard to carry around gold across borders, but you could certainly send Bitcoin any time of the day or night, even on a weekend. You can't do that with the dollar, and you can't do it with gold. So Bitcoin's got a ton of utilities, and I look at it as more of a technology currency than like a currency, if you know what I mean, a store of value.
True, but I use it in my own personal life as a currency, right? And here's a great example is I have workers for my business that do different things for me. They do research on my stock investments or they'll do content. And some of them cannot get access to traditional payment systems. And so I have been paying them in Bitcoin.
Wow. So see, that goes against the argument that so many people have that are against Bitcoin. Now I went to El Salvador, which is the first country to adopt Bitcoin. And I saw all these third world people, you know, holding up their phones and their QR codes and accepting money and, you know, acting like it was easier than a credit card. And it really was. But over here, we're like, no, it'll never work. You can't really use it anywhere. And you're actually using it. So that's cool. And you have people, what, all over the world accepting it?
I do. Yeah. And for me, that's really good because sometimes governments make things a little difficult for people to do transactions. Yeah. And so it's a great freedom aspect as well. You can transact.
Yeah.
Another thing that I like to think about when I think about Bitcoin is when we look at money and what money actually is, you know, money is just a bartering and is trading. And, you know, the thing about Bitcoin, and if we compare it to like gold and compare the dollar, you know, if you need gold, you got to go dig a hole. You got to go buy ground, right? So that costs a lot of money to buy that ground. It costs a lot of money to dig that hole. You know, my dad was a mechanic and he worked in a gold mine. Wow. And I got to go up there. They got these big dump trucks. They process it, right? So then they take all the dirt and then they process it. They put it through a chemical process to find the gold. And so just lots of, and there's a limit of it too. There's a limited value. And so that's a lot of work, right? And that work has to be worth something. There has to be value there to do that. But when you look at Bitcoin, they're like, it's digital, but there's a lot of work involved with
it. It's a lot of work. It's a proof of work system.
You got to mine it, right? You got to run this. You got to buy a supercomputer. You got to buy a giant warehouse to run that. You got to pay for the electricity.
Yep.
You got to run the programs and figure out how to do it. So guess what? It costs actual time. It costs actual labor and it costs actual money to create Bitcoin, right? So right there adds value and it shows that there's value in it. The other thing that it does is if you compare that to the dollar, there's literally no effort. There's no limit. You know, Bitcoin has a limit. There's all they do to create dollars is they click a button.
Yep.
And it's instantly created in cyberspace. And, you know, every bank has the authority to create loans and to create money. And it just instantly happens. Money's instantly created with no effort, no labor, no work. So you tell me the laws of the universe would dictate that this is a very valuable thing.
You know, that's the thing is that I don't think enough people know the laws of the universe, right? They don't know supply and demand. We don't teach them this stuff. And so they're like, what do you mean supply and demand? And they say, well, the dollar, you know, like I have a friend in Europe that he pulled out the euro and he's like, I can hold this euro. And I'm like, yeah, but it's just a token that is tied to something that is infinite. Like they can just add more euros and it's worth less and less. So don't hold it too long because it's worth less and less.
You're holding this euro. It's decreasing every second you hold it. And you know what? Most of the euros are not in coin format bill format. Most of them are digital in cyberspace, just floating around.
And I think it's that disconnect that people don't see the digitalization of the money, right? You don't see the expansion with the zeros just kind of turning like this. And you know, there just keeps, they're keep making more and more. If you look at the US, we're given money for debt. That's got to come from somewhere. So they just print it. That means your dollar in your pocket is worth less and less. That $30,000 that you saved, if you hadn't invested, imagine what it would be worth today. It would be worth in buying power, you know, 10 or 15,000 or way less than that. I know that it, from 1913 to now, the dollar has debased by 98.5%. So if you had held any dollars for 100 years and stuff to live 100 years, but any period of that time, it's gone down. So why are people not gravitating towards something that we know has got an infinite supply when we know that on the other side, there's something with a finite supply in Bitcoin that has never been hacked and it's got a lot of really great benefits?
So I don't want to get too conspiracy theory or political or any of that stuff, but we do know that people that are leading, that rule and that hold the power do not want people to be educated, right? And they realize that they're stealing from the people. So every time they release more money into the economy, you know, they just did the loan forgiveness thing.
Yes.
And everyone's praising that, right? But really, it's just stealing money from hard-earned people, and it's really disgusting. But there's no education on that in schools. They don't teach it, and it's not like an accident, like we forget.
Right.
It's taught because they don't really want people to know, right?
Today? I posted, congratulations, everybody. If you didn't have a student loan before, you've got one now. Because now you're paying everybody else's student loans off.
Oh, man, it makes me want to go back to college.
I know, me too. Like, if you get your student loan, that was a fun time. I don't know why I rushed it. That's crazy. So cool. All right. So listen, is this Forex thing, is this something that somebody can learn, or is this like you're born with it or you're not? What do you think?
It's definitely something you can learn. The markets in general is something that you can learn.
Yeah.
It's challenging, right? It's definitely challenging. So I would recommend, if anyone's interested in getting into the markets, whether it's in currency trading, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's the stock market, whatever it is, you need to educate yourself, because one of my favorite strategies is to do what is called dollar cost averaging.
Yes.
That's what I did. That's my first strategy when I was young. You just put in every paycheck. Every 2 weeks, money's going in. And that works amazing. The problem with it is you have to understand what you're investing in, and you have to have a risk management, because if you keep throwing money in something that's disappearing, you know, if the economy is collapsing and there's massive inflation and you keep investing in the Turkish lira, you know, you're basically throwing your money away. And so yes, you can learn to do this, but you've got to have a strategy. You've got to have good discipline. The biggest thing about investing, and I think you might, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. I feel like the biggest thing is your integrity. It's really easy. You know, it's easy for me to keep my word to you, Mark, because I want to look good. If I say, hey, Mark, I'm going to do this thing, you know, I keep my word, right? Yeah. Having integrity is easy, but it's hard to have integrity when you're keeping your word to yourself. Because no one's going to know if you're breaking your own promises.
Yeah.
So if you say, you know what, I'm going to manage my money well, and I'm going to take this loss and move it into something else, you know, am I going to keep my word and follow my plan?
Yeah.
Having personal integrity, which is doing the right thing when no one's looking, is really important. And also you have to know what the right thing is. And that means you have to take time to think about it and come up with a set of values and core values and understand what the right thing is, or else how are you going to have integrity if you don't know what's right or wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I probably agree about 105% with that. I'll take it one step further and get a little bit controversial. And I'll say that men have a little bit more trouble than women in trading because we don't like to admit we're wrong. Now, of course, there's exceptions.
I won't ask for directions.
Exactly.
Even though I have a cell phone.
Right. Look, I'll figure it out.
Before a cell phone, I wouldn't ask. Are you kidding me?
So we're not willing to admit it. And you've got to admit you're wrong because, you know, when you click that mouse and you get into a trade, whether it's on the buy side or the sell side, there's somebody on the other side of the trade that thinks they're right. And so you got two people thinking you're right. One of you is not. And it's what you do right after you click the mouse that makes the difference. That's when you talk about risk management, right? If you let that thing go down 7% and then you don't take your loss and then you let it go down 10 or 20 or 30, and then you finally do what everybody does. They say, well, it's a good company. It's a good currency. It'll come back.
Right. You find excuses.
Right. And you justify so that you're not wrong. So you're absolutely right. Integrity to yourself, everybody. That is a critical thing. And I want to also stress one more lesson that Casey pointed out to us early on. And that is how to manage and save your money. The difference between Casey and the other people that were in his barracks is that he ended up with $30,000 and they ended up with zero. They probably had some nice stuff that depreciated and they probably still don't have it anymore. But he had a nest egg when he graduated from the Army. Thank you for your service, by the way. And then he moved on to the next part of his life and he was able to buy a business, invest, and you know, learn all of these great things that he's able to teach other students today. And it all comes from those roots. Listen to the roots from people that are successful, everybody. Integrity, right? Integrity, learning. This guy's all he does is learn, right? I know you've learned from William O'Neill. I know that's the kind of strategy that you use. And now you've been able to parlay that into Forex. So you've got a lot of learning. So integrity and learning and saving and investing and just the first principles when it comes to investing are so critical. And you know what? At the end of the day, maybe you'll agree with me, Casey, maybe you won't. I don't think trading is that hard. If you have an unemotional plan and you follow those rules and you stick to your integrity, trading becomes kind of a formula. You're not always right, but by and large, it's a probability game. What do you think about that?
Oh, I totally agree with that. It's not really that simple. We make it difficult by adding a bunch of extra rules or just not following our own strategy and not managing risk. I hate to be wrong. You know what I really hate to do is lose money. Yeah. So if I feel like, oh, well, maybe I should just hang in there and I won't lose money, you know, and with my personality, I'm an all in type of person. And so I've had a lot of challenges. And I think you talked about in the beginning, and I got two quick things.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I'm having a lot of fun.
I set it up, but we didn't really talk about it. You're right.
You said, you know, humility, right?
Yeah.
Life has a tendency to keep us humble. I don't understand those really successful people that are all full of themselves. Cause I feel like I'm a successful guy and I've been beat back so many times.
Yeah.
I've been smacked around and just been in just such difficult times, that itself has kept me humble. Right. And I just know that if I keep moving forward, that will keep you humble. And the other thing I wanted to comment was on your learning thing. You'll laugh at this. I hated school.
Me too.
I would bring books to class and I would ignore my teacher and I would read my book.
Uh-huh.
Right. Because I felt like the stuff they was teaching me was stupid. I would actually argue. I'm like, this is so bad. I'd be like, these people have never held a real job in their life. How can they teach me? They know nothing. Exactly. You know, I would discount the stuff they were teaching me and I wanted to learn my own stuff. And so I love learning. I'm a lifelong learner. I've read William O'Neill. I've read a million different stock books, business books, everything, but I just didn't like school.
Yeah. That wasn't your learning mode. Modality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was the same way. I've got three hedge funds and teach people how to invest. And you know, the only class I've ever failed in my life, finance.
Probably because they didn't know what they were doing.
They were thinking that if you put these variables into a formula, it's going to tell you exactly what a stock is worth. And I'm like, I'd already been investing for I don't know, 6 years by then. And I'm like, no, that's not how you determine what a stock is worth. It's supply and demand, you know, the same things we talk about today. So we didn't get along, and it was one of those weed out classes anyway. I took it the next semester. I never went to class and I did fine. But it was just that, you know, that particular methodology of teaching. But it is crazy. I mean, and I think this education system that we have is for a certain person. And I was just having this discussion with a friend of mine the other night who's gone back to med school, actually. And it's for a certain person. And that certain person can sit there and take notes and memorize and do really great. And then, you know, come out and get a nice job. And there is a place for education for that person.
Yes. And my personality did not fit. It just didn't fit.
And there's you and me that are like, okay, we're reading other stuff. We've already read a zillion books. And, you know, we have mastery over some other topics, and they weren't taught to us in that particular way. So we have to, you know.
But you're right. It is good for certain people. Some people love it.
Yeah. And it's not for everybody. It certainly wasn't for me. But you know what? It was a great experience and I had a lot of fun. How about that?
Yeah, me too. I played basketball. Yeah. Worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Just write off some of that student debt for me too. Yeah. And, you know, I'll be part of the party here. Okay. So listen, this is awesome. So we learned to dollar, you know, the dollar cost averaging is really important. I just wanted to say, dollar cost averaging into Bitcoin is also what I'm talking about. We call them hodlers, not holders, but hodlers. It came from hang on for dear life. When Bitcoin goes up and down like that bucking Bronco, you don't want to be trading it, right? This is a vehicle that I believe in 5 or 10 years it will be $1 million a coin. And so you buy it and you hold it. And if you get a chance to buy a little bit more, even if it's $10 worth, buy a little more, because you know what? You may never see that opportunity again. We may be totally wrong on this, right, Casey? Like, we could be totally wrong.
We could be wrong. The government might ban it and kill everyone that has a Bitcoin.
Yeah. And on the other side, and I wanted to mention this, and you know, we're probably getting a little long in the tooth here on the call, but I love it, is that, you know, one of the reasons I know that you love it, it's, you said the word freedom. Now, freedom is a big deal for me and my listeners. Is I believe in empowering everybody to have some freedom. And most people don't know what they don't know when it comes to time freedom, people freedom, location freedom, all these financial freedom. But one of the things is you said about freedom is that you have people around the world that don't have access to a bank. 70% of the world is unbanked. This is like the biggest technological revolution, because if you take one of these phones that we have, a $50 Android phone makes somebody banked, and now they're part of the financial system.
Yeah, so true. And the cell phone in itself helped these third world countries so much. I've done a lot of traveling, and for church work and stuff, I will go up into some villages that don't have electricity. Wow. They got no running water. This is totally real. They have no running water. They have no electricity, but they have cell phones.
How do they charge the cell phones?
Generators.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they'll have one generator in the village, and everybody comes and, you know, they'll use a tank of gas. Everybody comes together and charges their phones.
Wow. And they can use those phones for a lot of things. You take pictures, you communicate, you got a light on the back of it. Like, there's probably a lot of things that just come from having a phone, and now they got a bank right on their phone. So that's cool. Well, listen, we could talk forever, and I've really enjoyed the talk. So it's 4X for you. It's dollar cost averaging in the stock market. It's trend trading. All those things are useful and great things to learn about. So how can people learn a bit more about you, Casey, and what you do and how you can help them?
So I have all of my contact information at one place. It's my website, tradingstrategyguides.com/podcast. And that's where you can go. And I have access to all of my social media accounts there, access to all of the financial education that I give, because I've got a YouTube channel and a Twitter account, and I host a podcast as well.
And you have courses, right?
I do. And so all that stuff is available on that website.
So listen, everybody,
get
a hold. I'll say it again. Get a hold of this guy, because this guy is a wealth of knowledge and he cares about you being better. I have a feeling, just reading his mind, he's an abundance guy. He believes there's enough for everybody and the pie can be infinite. And there's some for you as well. And so if you want to get a handle on the Forex market, the stock market, you know, just business success, because he's got a whole different set of things that he offers on business success. This is the guy to learn from. Casey Stubbs, tradingstrategyguides.com. If you're driving, tradingstrategyguides.com/podcast. Casey, I want to honor you and I want to thank you for being on the podcast. I want to honor you for the knowledge that you have and the dedication to learning and the humility that you've been able to accept in your life so that you can move forward and grow. I think it's a great model for all people. And I want to thank you for being on the Wealth Architect podcast today.
Thank you, Mark. I think I had more fun on your show.
Well, maybe we'll do it again and I can have fun on your show. We'll get it going back again.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Listen, thanks for tuning in. I hope to see you on the next edition of the Wealth Architect podcast. Remember, never give up power in your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a fantastic day, everybody.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.